And good afternoon on this Monday, September 9th. It is 107 right now. I'm meteorologist Justin Storm with Ag Director Bridger Riedel and Chief Meteorologist Dean Wysocki. This is Weather and Ag in Focus.
Did you look outside?
I have looked outside a few times over the course of the day, Dean.
What is that big X that's marked right over the city?
Well, that's where my Twitter post goes.
That's X, dude. It's up in the cloud. You're just figuring this out?
I'm late to the party, I guess.
Facebook.
Yeah. Right.
Those posts that get censored.
I thought they were chemtrails. Sorry.
No, that's the internet cloud. That's where all those saved messages, text, emails, they disappear to. They're up there in the cloud.
It's like where your sock goes when it leaves the washing machine without you.
Mm-hmm. Or the Tupperware lid.
Yeah, that too. What else goes missing nowadays? 10-millimeter socket. You can't find those anywhere.
You can't find a 10-millimeter, a 9/16. And I've always thought at a farm show, that's the thing that they should give away, is just the one replacement wrench that you're all missing.
Okay, so here's the thing. On the farm, in the shop, besides the old 10-millimeter socket and the 9/16 wrench, what is always going missing that you cannot find? 701-293-9000. Red Wing Shoe Line here to the studio today. That's the number to get in contact with us. Emails to the program as well, weather or ag@flagfamily.com.
Bridget, I get to answer that question?
I was just going to ask if you had something to add that always goes missing, whether maybe even like in the tractor, something always gone.
The hitch pin to hook up the implement.
Really?
Always missing. You don't know why?
Well, where do you put it?
Who knows? It's like the sock in the dryer.
That's like Jay and his can of beer where he sets it down and he can't find it again. Yeah.
Now, we can help with that.
Just crack another beer. Problem solved.
Okay, that could be the case, yes. But we actually, I do believe some of our morning shows are giving away hitch pins in the Brenko building.
Are they really?
Big Iron this week, so stop by. Dean's eyes lit up because, Dean, do you know what a hitch pin is?
I've seen them before.
Okay.
Do you know what
I've never used them.
Of course.
No. Well, actually.
Oh, deep in thought.
He's thinking.
Making something up.
Dude, your ears are smoking. Stop. Is it? Yeah, stop.
Yeah. Oh, okay.
You're going to catch on fire.
All right.
Heard of like that instant combustion?
Yeah, that's right. Human spontaneous combustion.
Yeah, human spontaneous combustion.
Overthinking.
Your ears were smoking, and I was worried I was going to see the first account of that in my life.
You could still hope.
Keep thinking.
Try and blow my mind.
Keep thinking, dude.
Try and blow my mind with something.
Have you ever used a hitch pin?
Yes, on a boat.
On a boat.
Okay. On a boat, I can understand.
Wait. No, let's dig into this. How did you use the hitch pin on the boat, Dean?
To hook it up to the thingamajiggy.
Okay.
That's attached to the truck.
There we go.
Total technical term.
All right. So you know what? Dean? I will buy that.
See?
We'll give you that one. If you want to add into the conversation again, something that's always going missing in the tractor, in the shop, on the farm, 701-293-9000.
Message me.
Yeah, you can also message Bridget.
She's just call her.
Personal phone number, that's 218-330. What were the last four digits?
6412.
6412.
So actually, we have a friend of the show, Sarah. She replied, she said the 9/16 wrench, always the one missing. Back home on the farm, I was the one who had to clean up all the tools. So about July, I was the only one who knew where they were. Knowledge is power.
See, my dad, callers, we'll come to you here in just a moment. Mike, you'll be first. My dad would always just assume that I took his tools, and then I would get yelled at every time there was something that was missing.
You look like you're a yell at kind of kid.
Well, I was apparently I wasn't holding the flashlight right.
Oh,
ever.
No, that's actually, that is like getting your PhD in astrophysics. Flashlight in the right place never happens. It's a unicorn.
No, it can't.
Yes.
You can used to be breathing wrong. Quit breathing so loud, darn it. Other words, but... Mike, what's always missing on the farm or in the shop?
What are the wrench sizes you gave out previously? I forgot.
9/16 and the 10-millimeter socket, and also a hitch pin has been mentioned.
Oh, yeah. Let's say half inch.
Ooh, oh, yeah, that's a good one.
Good half inch drive.
Yep. Half inch wrenches.
No.
All of it.
Half inch wrench, yeah.
Yep.
Yeah, half inch wrench. Oh, there's our hitch pin.
Okay, so if you're watching on the live stream, Sophia, she's so good here at the office. She brought us one of the hitch pins. Again, it's going to be stamped with WDAY on the handle. It's got the vinyl grip.
It's massive.
And then it also has Brenko on the back. These are the tractor size ones. You can get a smaller diameter for like ATVs and so forth, but this is the tractor size.
It's massive. Dean, did you use that on your boat?
It wasn't that big.
I was going to think
it was not that big.
Have that big of a boat.
It's gonna. I'm gonna set this down. It's gonna thud.
Yeah. Well, hey, Mike. There. Appreciate the phone call.
Yeah.
Thanks, Mike.
Yeah. Thing's massive. You said there are smaller ones.
There are smaller. We are.
That's not,
going
to fit on the on our truck.
We don't have. We don't have smaller ones that we're giving away, but we do have these tractor size ones.
Oh, okay, I see.
These are the size that we are giving away at Big Iron in the Brenco Building. Please stop by and see all of our morning shows there. The three of us will be in the Morton Building every day from 1 to 2 o'clock. And on Wednesday, I'll be there starting at noon. So if you're involved in social media, if you follow along, if there's people that you follow and you want to meet, swing by the Morton Building at noon on Wednesday, September 11th. They might just be there to shake your hand.
I'm gonna have
you
to still,
are you bringing your autographed pictures?
I have autographed pictures now. I have
you
a tractor.
Have autographed pictures.
I'm bringing the tractor, the Steiger.
Oh, okay.
So we'll have Steigers available for sale from Lamar's Toy Company.
Cool.
Yeah, we got a lot going on.
We got all sorts of stuff going on. So what do we got on the list of things that are always disappearing? We got the hitch pin.
Yes.
The 10 millimeter socket, the 9/16 wrench, and the half inch wrench.
And nobody ever knows where their coffee cup went.
Coffee cup's always missing.
Mm-hmm. It is sweatshirt weather where you start the day in a sweatshirt and by the end of the week you have 15 of them in your pickup.
All right. That is actually me where I will have like 3 or 5 or 7 sweatshirts in the back of the car.
It's extremely real.
By the end of fall. Is this Kay?
Yes.
Kay, do you got something to add?
Pliers?
Pliers.
Oh.
Good.
Kay doesn't have them on her belt loop. I'm going to say that's a no.
So was the weirdest spot that you ever lost a pair of pliers and then found them later? Do you got any stories?
No, I don't. I'm calling for my husband.
I see. Well, good. I'm sure he's probably, if it's anything like me, I've used my phone's flashlight to look for my phone under the bed before.
Handy. You're super good at this. Most farmers.
Appreciate it, Kay. Thanks for listening and calling.
Most farmers, or if you're working on a piece of equipment, it never fails. You set it up on your implement, lay it on the drawbar, the steps of the tractor, and then you drive away
and find it two springs later.
Constant.
So I actually did that with my phone one time on the back of my car when I was running late for high school one day, and I set it up there, and I'm going down the road. I'm like, oh, man, my phone's on the top of my car. What do I do at 60 miles an hour? No, I don't just slow down. I slam on the brakes, and then my phone goes flying off the roof, skirting down the road.
We have some life lessons for you.
Well, we've learned those life lessons the hard way.
We have. We have, very much so.
You haven't put it on the roof since.
I haven't taken off with it on the roof since.
Right. You know what would have made you far brighter? I mean, not that it was a bad thing that you majored in meteorology at UND.
It was an old Nokia, so it actually still worked.
It probably did. Imagine if you would have been in the College of Ag at NDSU. Think how bright you'd be today.
Very bright.
Bit of a lead-in for our guest today.
That is. And our guest is going to be Greg Lardy, VP of College of Ag at NDSU.
There's a whole lot more title there, but he's going to have to explain it. I didn't have room to type it all in.
That's our very shortened title for Greg. If you want to come in with any questions for Greg Lardy, feel free to reach us on the Red Wing Shoe Shoe line, 701-293-9000. Emails to the program, weather or ag at flagfamily.com. Comment box is there on Facebook, YouTube Live, Acres TV. You can also instant message Bridget directly at
218-330.
What were the last four?
6412.
6412.
867-5309. So, Greg is going to be a little disappointed that it's today and not next Monday when we have Great Harvest Bread Company comes in and they bring us samples. But if you are headed to Big Iron, you're in town this week and you have not stopped by Great Harvest Bread, please check out their specials. Pick up something to go for the drive home. No carb left behind, and Cassie and the crew at Great Harvest Bread can help.
What was that?
I am team no carb left behind.
There you go. I like
great.
It.
You don't get to look like the porky puppy without it.
So with Greg Lardy coming up, we got a few other ag topics we're going to run down through the course of the hour, along with a check on your forecast. We need to do that. But, you know, why don't we just hit the forecast here real quick? I think we can probably sum it up pretty quick. It's nice this week. Enjoy.
Yeah, all week. Temperatures running a good 10 to 15 above normal all week long with really not much chance for rain in the forecast. A lot of sunshine out there. Temperatures in the upper 70s. Should make it up into the mid-80s this afternoon with those south-southeast breezes about 10 to 25. Tonight, we're down into the upper 50s. And tomorrow, rinse and repeat. Might see a few clouds around, but other than that, mostly sunny with highs in the mid-80s. And then we're in the upper 80s, close to 90 as we round out the week. Winds are going to ramp up late in the week. And as those winds ramp up, it's going to drag in more moisture from our south and could give us an isolated shower or storm as we head into the start of the weekend. But it doesn't look like much. But according to the LRC, and Bridget, remember we were touting this right around the 19th of the month? That was supposed to be one of the wetter periods.
Hey, we got combining to do. Ease up over there.
I know, but the LRC predicted this months ago, and our long-range model's now starting to pick up on. We could get into a wet period from about the 18th through about the 23rd. So not the best news for harvest, but it is what it is.
I think it's great news for harvest.
And
is it too early to be harvesting right now? Because this is a beautiful stretch of weather.
Yep.
Bridget?
She's busy.
I was typing a message
to you guys. Thanks. She's like the teacher getting or the kid getting called on by the teacher. You asked if the, what about the weather for harvest?
Is it are we harvesting right now? Because we got a good 10-day stretch of nice weather, and I mean that's great.
There are some places that still have wheat. Dry beans are coming off. Soybeans are turning fast, but we're a little bit early for some of that right now. But
so
this is going to change things over fast.
What's being done mid-month?
Mid-September.
Is mid-September just kind of a lull period?
It can
between beans and corn versus wheat and some other beans?
Yep. Dry beans.
Look at that. So the rain's coming in right at the right time.
Now, we may have some potato growers that are trying to lift.
Are potatoes not done?
Depends when they planted them.
I suppose you make a point.
Potatoes are all out yet.
Huh.
No, I don't think we're
ready. I was up on the north side of East Grand yesterday, and all the potato fields up there had been taken care of. They're actually tilling them all up after harvest.
So did they till them or they desiccated them?
They harvested.
Okay, so those potatoes are all out.
Those harvest. Yeah, they're done.
And you are still to hook up with one of our listeners up at Reynolds so you can ride with for sugar beet harvest, which will be starting closer to October 1st.
Won't be too long from now.
Looking forward to it.
Should be. All right, well, we got Greg Lardy, VP of College of Ag at NDSU, coming up next. If you want to join in on that conversation, again, 701-293-9000. That's the Red Wing Shoe Line. Call it anytime you want. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
Welcome back to Weather and Ag in Focus. Thank you for joining us. And above all, thank you to sponsors such as Dairyland Seed, because they brought us an outstanding corn hybrid that is probably going to dry down quite a bit this week in our Here We Grow project, where we are custom farming 20 acres of corn north of Glendon, Minnesota. Don't forget to get your guests in. For the yield, you can join us at Big Iron. You can stop by our booth. Again, we'll be in the Morton building, or you can stop and see our partner, IntelliFarms. They're out at Big Iron as well, and you can drop off your bushel guesses with either one of us. We're giving away a grain gauge and a rain gauge. And Ellingson Drainage. If it rains as much as Dean says it's going to in September, you probably need some drain tiling done. See the folks at Ellingson because they can make that happen, and also other underground projects. Our guest today is Dr. Greg Lardy. He is with the College of Agriculture at NDSU. Greg, I didn't have enough space to type in what your title is now, which is a fairly new title. But give it to me. What you got?
Yeah, Bridget, I'm glad to be here. Thanks for the invite. My official title at NDSU is the Joe and Norma Peltier Vice President for Agriculture. And that includes the duties of Dean of the College, Director of NDSU Extension, and Director of the North Dakota Agricultural Experiment Station.
Is your business card like the size of my phone?
Yeah,
now?
It's a little larger. Fine print.
So how many full-time jobs is that? Is that three or four?
So what does it mean that you have Joe and Norma Peltier's name in front of your title?
Yeah, so great question. So the Peltier family created an endowment to support my position. So there's an endowment that's held at the NDSU Foundation, and so the earnings of that is directed by the person in my position. So currently we are launching some recruiting initiatives with that money, and we hired a full-time recruiter for the College of Agriculture in June. So Blaine joined us then, and he's doing a fantastic job. We've got some other leadership initiatives that we're doing with that those proceeds as well.
So when and if you ever decide to retire, which you can't because you have three full-time jobs, mm-hmm. do you get to take those funds with you? Does that just follow Greg Lardy wherever he goes?
No, they do not. Aww. They follow the position.
Okay.
So whoever is my successor will benefit greatly from that investment.
That's excellent. All right. There's a lot of things that are happening in the College of Ag, but before I even get to some of the new programs and so forth, how long have you been with NDSU? Because I don't think you just graduated and got this job right off the bat. There might have been some steps in between.
Yeah, there's a few steps in between. I've been at NDSU for 27 years. So it's been a fantastic place to work.
Started in animal science?
Correct. Yeah, I started out as a beef cattle extension specialist. So I got hired in June of 1997 and did about 12 years of work with beef cattle producers, veterinarians, feed dealers all across the state and region. Really loved that job. Enjoyed a lot working with cattle producers was fantastic.
And that doesn't change because that you get to continue to work with producers and now their next generation
right.
on the farm and as students at NDSU.
Yep. Correct.
So in all the capacities that you have, there's some new things that we talked about just before we got on air today. New programs within the College of Ag. What do those look like? And you've probably had some overall big changes with budget cuts and so forth that have happened over the last couple of years too.
Yeah, so this fall we launched our first fully online bachelor's degree in agriculture. So we have a online bachelor's degree in agricultural science. So the students in that program could do the entire degree online if they chose to do that. And then next fall we'll launch a fully online master's degree in agriculture. So that'll include some stackable certificates where students could kind of pick and choose which areas of focus they want and build out a master's program that would be all online as well.
So as you look at what's changed over the last couple of years with funding, enrollment, et cetera, can you talk about that a little bit? You know, what's different at NDSU now than maybe we looked like 5 years ago?
Yeah, so probably one of the biggest changes that we went through, Bridget, was NDSU went through a program process that they called NDSU Transform. We used to have seven academic colleges in the university. We consolidated into five. So we have NDSU Agriculture and the college picked up programs in family and consumer economics as well as agriculture education. So we have a couple of new programs that became part of the college as part of that restructuring. Some of the other colleges, you know, College of Arts and Sciences has probably undergone the biggest change there in terms of combinations of programs and so on. But that was one of the big changes. And then we have a different way that the colleges and the teaching programs are budgeted now. So what we call a tuition revenue model. And we don't need to get into the details of that. But it makes the colleges more responsive to changes in enrollment, student interest, that sort of thing.
And Greg, for any students that are high school kids or they're thinking about getting into ag and maybe attending NDSU, what makes the ag program here stand out from any other local colleges?
Yeah, great question. So I would say it's the fact that we have a number of our faculty that teach, in fact, most of the faculty that teach in our programs have some kind of joint appointment where they're actually doing research. So they are experts in their fields, literally and figuratively. And so the faculty that are teaching our students really have firsthand knowledge of the latest and greatest in terms of the research. They're, in many cases, nationally and internationally recognized scientists that are in the classroom. So our students are learning from some of the very best across that. And that's, I think, what separates us from a number of the other regional institutions.
Greg, what can you do with from a degree from the College of Ag, where can that lead you? What can you do, or what do these degrees look like, and what can you do with them?
Yeah, so we have a number of different majors that our students will take, everything from precision agriculture to veterinary technology to animal science to agronomy. Our students go into a wide variety of careers, so they are doing everything from returning to their family farms and ranches and managing those enterprises to going to work on the corporate side, maybe in marketing, sales. They're going to work in banking, business finance. They're going to work for government agencies, any number of different careers. One of the neat things about a degree in agriculture is it really opens up a number of doors. And so I could give you a number of examples of our alumni that are doing things, you know, clearly within right down the center lane of agriculture. And I could give you examples of our alumni that are doing stuff that was quite different than what they would have had the degree in initially. Mm-hmm. So it's kind of a cool degree because it just opens up a lot of pathways.
Sure.
It does. And honestly, I was glad to hear that the ag education folks, and I'll follow the College of Ag. Because I actually didn't when I graduated from NDSU. I was still over in education.
Oh, yep.
So it felt really weird that you were sort of on the fringe for the College of Ag. Now I can say I'm an alum.
We are super excited to have that program in our college, and I know our faculty that teach in that program are just thrilled to be over with us as well.
Well, there's so many classes. I mean, when you were in ag education, you're prepared to teach, right? So you can plan, you can do all your lesson work, you understand all the cognitive learning and so forth, but you have classes in horticulture, soil science, botany, physics. I took industrial welding, just of a wide, ag mechanics. Wow. We took a lot of stuff. Industrial welding was fun, but not for the reasons you expect. Yeah. Some things happened in that lab that we can't speak of. But anywho, it is bottom of the hour. We will come back with our continued discussion with Dr. Greg Lardy. And we want to talk about the extension centers that are out around the state, because not all of us realize as taxpayers where they are. We think about the main campus, but there's so much more going on statewide. So we'll do that. Bring your calls to us at 701-293-9000. And welcome back to Weather and Ag in Focus. Oh, the college stories roll during the break. Everybody had a good time. And if you are an alumni of NDSU, especially in the College of Ag, a familiar name for you is our guest today, Dr. Greg Lardy. Greg is the VP for the College of Ag. And as we've discussed, he has multiple jobs. There's no running out of free time in your world, I bet. Or excuse me, running into extra free time.
It's a hectic job, but it's a lot of fun.
So also, one of those titles is Director of Extension, correct?
Mm-hmm. Correct.
There are a number of extension research sites around the state of North Dakota that most of us don't even realize. So who's on the list and what do they do?
Yeah, so Bridget, actually in our system, those seven research extension centers are aligned under the Ag Experiment Station.
Okay.
So those seven RECs are located at Carrington, Langdon, Minot, Williston, Dickinson, Hettinger, and Streeter. And they are there to conduct research and conduct extension programs that are directly related to the communities and the stakeholders that they serve. So typically aligned with geographic areas. For instance, Langdon would serve the northeast part of the state because every one of those areas has a little different production system. Every one of them has a different set of crops or livestock that people are raising and producing there. In different climatic conditions as you go from east to west. So they're really designed to align with various production systems across the state.
Yeah, we're not going to talk about canola when we're at Streeter, right?
But you are going to talk about it at Langdon.
Absolutely. So they have a right fit. And I've noticed probably in my career in the last 25 years, those buildings are really starting to get an upgrade.
Yeah, we've had, if you look across like the last decade or so, the state of North Dakota has invested greatly in improving the research infrastructure at all of those RECs. In fact, over the last couple of bienniums, we've had new capital construction projects at every one of the seven RECs.
Which was well needed.
Yes. Yep.
So when you think about what's happening at those sites, how vital is that to you as a producer? You know, you came in from animal science into your position today. How often do producers go to those sites, reference that research, those types of things?
Yeah, they visit them routinely. They are attending field days. They are accessing information. Of course, nowadays, you know, you're accessing a lot more of that information on the phone, off of web apps, that sort of thing. And it's really critical in terms of the response of those research programs in the local growing conditions. So we know that, you know, what variety might work in Williston maybe doesn't work as good as well in Langdon. And what works at Streeter in terms of grazing system might not be the same grazing system that you implemented Dickinson or Hettinger.
NDSU is a land-grant university that was designated as part of the Morrill Act in the 1860s.
1862.
And because of that, we have to maintain a number of agricultural research programs, that type of thing. And I've always been told that we also have to maintain a fair amount of land acres that are consistently in research in order to keep that land grant status. So like some of our wheat plots, et cetera, at the main campus. Is all of that true, or can that be out at some of the research sites, or how does that little caveat work?
Yeah, so we have a couple of research plots that are on the National Register of Historic Sites. So a plot that's been in continuous wheat since basically the time NDSU was founded. Same way with one that's been in continuous flax. And so if you think back to 1890 when North Dakota Agricultural College was founded, Wheat, spring wheat and flax were two of the principal crops that the state was growing at the time. And so there was a real concern about, you know, what's the long-term implications of having, you know, that those be the two principal crops. And so we have some pretty cool historical research that relates to that.
Those are a big deal. And NDSU really wouldn't function without that land grant status.
Correct. Yep.
And Greg, you've seen some changes since you've taken over the position. What would you say is the biggest change you've seen, and what would you like to see happen over the next 10 to 20 years?
Yeah, great question, Dean. So I would say since I've been vice president, probably the biggest change that we've seen, and it's really, you know, it was coming before I took over as vice president, but it's really how much data drives our research programs now. You know, the example I would give you is in our breeding programs. You know, historically, our plant breeding programs would be based on, you know, breeders going out in the field, taking observations of the various crosses they made. They might be looking at yield. They might be looking at disease resistance, those sort of things. But now we're combining all of that data with the genomic data and really, you know, bringing in a lot more data analytical tools into those types of decision-making processes for scientists. And it's not just breeding programs, but it's literally every discipline that our scientists work in is becoming much, much more data intensive, so that the requirements for, when we talk about infrastructure, we're not just talking about the physical laboratories that, you know, people would work in or buildings or greenhouses, but we're actually talking about the data infrastructure to handle the volumes of data, secure it, make it easy to do the analytics and that sort of thing with it, because that's really where the power, I mean, our decision-making processes in agriculture are going to become much, much more data-driven as we go forward.
Okay.
So a question back to the land-grant university, a question I've had from listeners before. When you drive to the Fargo airport, you see the swine unit, the beef unit, you know, dairy, all of those folks are there. Will those have to move due to urban development, or do they have to stay in that spot because of their being designated as NDSU land?
That's a great question, Bridget. I mean, it's one of our key competitive advantages is to have those livestock units and our farm operations right there next to campus. When we recruit students and recruit faculty members, the fact that those units are, you know, within an easy driving distance, just a couple of miles from the main heart of campus, students get an opportunity to work in those barns and get some valuable job experience. But our faculty also get a chance to work, you know, where they don't have to drive 30 or 40 miles to their research site. Yeah. It's a huge advantage for us to be able to do that. And, you know, we think that's one of the key pieces of our infrastructure is to have those accessible within easy driving distance.
Within the College of Ag and the Extensions, do you do any work with or collaboration with other extensions, say over in Minnesota, or local colleges or out-of-state colleges as well around the area?
All the above. Collaborate with all the above. So the example I would give you is with the University of Minnesota, we actually share several faculty positions jointly with the University of Minnesota. So we have a contract with them. And so we have positions that work in potato agronomy, sugar beet agronomy, sheep and goat extension work, a number of other areas where they pay part of the salary, we pay part of the salary. Mm-hmm. There are employees, and it's a great relationship because if you think about the Red River Valley, which, you know, the border is shared with Minnesota and North Dakota, those commodities that are grown in this region go across that state line. And so it's been a wonderful partnership with the U of M. But we have research collaborations literally with all sorts of different land-grant institutions. One of our partners is the USDA Agricultural Research Service. Mm-hmm. So USDA has one of their largest campuses on our campus in terms of ag research across the country. So we're all about partnerships within agriculture.
Cool. And it's my understanding the 50th anniversary of the Harvest Bowl is coming up. For those that are unaware, what is the Harvest Bowl, and if there's any significance or history to it to NDSU in our area?
Yeah, so Harvest Bowl is really a celebration of agricultural excellence across the entire state of North Dakota. It shares a long history. It's actually a partnership between NDSU Agriculture, Athletics, and the NDSU Foundation. So it was started back 50 years ago with one of our plant breeders and the athletic director at the time getting together and kind of planning this out, and gives us a chance to highlight a number of folks from across the state. So every county nominates a county honoree, and we recognize them at that banquet. And then we also have an agribusiness honoree that we recognize as well. So it's kind of like homecoming for agriculture at NDSU.
Okay.
In a way.
Cool. Very cool.
It is a big weekend, and then there's always the football game. It's usually the last football game of the regular season.
Most of the time, yep.
Yeah. And, you know, it's well attended. A lot of alumni, especially when you get those county nominees, because they are an alumni or their family are alum, and so there's a lot of folks that want to come back and be a part of that program.
I think one of the cool things about that banquet is each of those honorees gets a little bit of their bio read as they cross the stage. And the amount of service that those folks do in their communities, you know, whether it's on an ambulance crew, church boards, township boards, school boards, I mean, they're all about community involvement, and they're heavily involved in supporting their local communities in addition to running great businesses.
And then
we get a chance to hear from the football coach as well as at least one of the student athletes who generally has a tie back to agriculture will give us a little bit of a recap of what they're doing, because there's a ton of scholarships that are awarded through the College of Ag to student athletes. It's pretty neat.
The scholarship program for Harvest Bowl is a lot of support for athletics and students that are majoring in ag majors.
Very cool. When is the Harvest Bowl this year?
November 15th and 16th.
15th mm-hmm. and 16th of November.
Mark your calendars.
We should do a show. Is that a weekend or is that a weekday?
So Harvest Bowl, the banquet's on Friday night. The game is on Saturday.
I was going to say we should do our show from out there, but that's past our hour.
<You're right.
laughs> We could do the prelude. We could do a prelude.
The prelude to it. That's
we could do exactly a recorded right. show out there and just air it on Monday.
We could.
It could be fun.
Yep, there's a lot that goes on, and folks are interested in hearing. I mean, when the list of attendees comes out every year for every county, you go through it, and you're like, know them, oh, know their kids, oh, wait, know their parents. I mean, that's the kind of connection you have in the state of North Dakota.
Cool. Well, Greg, if someone wants to learn more about the College of Ag at NDSU or maybe about the Extension Center, where would you direct them to go to get that type of information or find someone to get in contact with?
Yeah, quick Google search for NDSU Agriculture will take you to our landing page, and that'll be kind of where you can navigate into all the academic programs, all the research programs, and then a complete list of our county offices and RECs.
Awesome. Cool. What was that website again? Or Google?
Just Google NDSU Agriculture.
Okay. And one last thing, there is a brand new building that just broke ground. I saw it on Saturday. The dirt work started. So which building is it?
Yeah, we broke ground on the Bali Agricultural Field Lab on June 12th. That building will house a number of programs related to agronomy, so plant breeding, horticulture, plant pathology, weed science. Some of our soils work will happen in there. It's going to be a fantastic addition to campus.
Big change. There's some buildings that were World War II era that it's maybe time to upgrade a little.
Yeah.
Just saying.
Yeah, but it's nice to have nostalgia around, too.
It is, unless you're trying to do lab work.
That might be a problem.
Then it's not so much fun. So it's a great addition to campus, so glad to hear it.
Yes, awesome. We're excited.
Well, Greg, thanks very much for coming in and chatting with us for a little bit today.
You're welcome. Thanks for having me.
Thanks, Greg.
Not a problem. Well, stay tuned. We got much more on the show, another check on the forecast, some ag topics, a little garden talk, and, well, we'll find some other stuff to talk about as well.
And welcome back to Weather and Ag in Focus. It's 1:50 in the afternoon. Temperatures hugging 80 degrees on our way up into the mid-80s. This whole week is kind of rinse and repeat. A lot of sunshine, some upper-level smoke. Saw the chemtrail spray day today. Had to deal with that outside. But we want to talk a couple ag topics.
Sure.
Let's touch on this politicians and food prices. Do those go hand in hand? Can our politicians really control our food prices, Bridget?
No, they have no say in this.
Are you sure?
The reality is there was a poll that was done, and if you identify as a Republican, you think the Republicans are going to fix it, and if you identify as a Democrat, you think the Democrats are going to fix it. And the reality is that's somewhere in between. But when you look at food inflation costs, food inflation has gone up about 30%.
It's crazy.
In the last 18 months.
Eggs are nuts right now.
And why are eggs nuts? Why?
Well, where do you want to start? From transporting it, fuel prices? Mm-hmm.
Fuel prices. Bird
one.
Flu is still, I mean, we don't talk about it every day, but bird flu is still alive and well. I mean, like, ha-ha, tongue-in-cheek right there. But yeah, bird flu is still affecting plenty of flocks that have to be depopulated due to infection. And you don't just turn on a chicken and she pops out an egg tomorrow, right? You've got to raise that chicken and get a little time in there for that thing to work.
Yeah,
it's not a little machine.
No.
I mean, it's not like the little Easter ones where you pat them on the head and they poop out a jelly bean. This is a different deal.
Okay.
Just putting it in terms we all understand.
In Indeed, indeed.
But I don't think politicians are going to make any difference. They're going to debate. They're, in fact, some of their representatives did a debate at the National Press Club talking about agriculture, which to me means they didn't say anything. They still don't have a farm bill done. None of them have any great insights into what we're going to do differently. They're just treading water. That's what I see.
That's not good news.
Not really.
Sure, man.
Because do you think they care about their price of eggs? And eggs are inelastic. You buy eggs no matter what their price is. And yet when eggs are a cheap price, we don't stock up on them because we consider them a perishable item. So
I got two things to add on to this.
Okie doke.
And how long have we been dealing with the price that food has been now? Is this going on 3 years?
I think we're going to be approaching 3 years. For sure we've been at two we've continued to see incremental inflation.
Okay, so the way I look at this is that prices are never going to go back down to what they were. They've been at where they're at too long and things have been fine.
Mm-hmm.
Things are floating away okay right now.
Yep.
And when I say that they're going along okay, I mean the country hasn't imploded on itself. We're still taking steps forward.
Yes.
So the prices are not going to go back because people are paying what they're asking for it. And they've continued to pay what they've been asking for a couple of years now.
Mm-hmm.
So how long does it have to go on for to where this is now just become normal prices for food?
Let's go to gas. You saw fuel prices go up at the beginning of the Biden, or right before Biden took office. Fuel prices skyrocketed up to, what, $5.50, $6 a gallon?
Sure, yeah, in certain spots in the country.
They had gone from $2.80, $3, they went way up. And then
they came back down.
And settled right around $4, and that became the new norm where everybody went, oh, well, that's fine.
Well, that's exactly what happened. Better than $5 or $6, and now that's happening with our food, so
sure
that's
it is.
The point.
What about supply and demand? I mean, if we get more supply out there, then the prices should drop.
Yeah, the only problem with that is less and less people are doing it.
Right. Where are we going to get more supply if we're short on eggs? Eggs are a major factor in many, many foods that you buy.
Mm-hmm.
So that price hasn't gone down. Sure, is corn price down right now? Yep. And so that means it's cheaper to feed beef, pork, poultry. But
my
beef
steaks still cost me about $20 for a stupid slice of meat.
Corn will go up in cost, but we're not going to see beef prices come down. And you have livestock producers hoping that they don't because they're finally in the black, out of the red.
Hey, boss, we need a raise. Wow. Food prices are too expensive.
I think everybody's looking at that. You know, I often see folks post their receipts from the grocery store. Bought 22 items. It cost me $100. And that's not
a late
unusual.
Rem set, but yeah, we'll take it.
You got it. I
don't think we're going to see a big change in that. And that's unfortunate. And I'm not saying that to be callous. I'm just saying that that's reality.
Yeah, I don't think anything's going to change. I don't, like, sure, yeah, maybe something might pull back a little bit like gas did. Instead of, you know, your gallon of gas going from 2 to 4, now it's at 3. You're just going to see that with the food. And I feel like it doesn't matter what happens in the near future, if things bounce back, I don't know. Your grocery bill goes from $100 to $90. Well, it was originally $55.
Well, when we say that there is a hunger crisis in America, it's not because we don't have enough food. We have enough.
Well, we've had a hunger crisis since the country's been around. There's been food
absolutely.
Problems.
I've never walked into one of our grocery stores and found it completely empty. But the situation is economic more than anything.
Mm-hmm.
And economics work against of so many of our population.
Indeed it does. Hey, Bridget, how's your garden doing?
Made spaghetti sauce and jelly. Oh, man, jelly overfloweth. Everybody needs strawberry jelly? Good, good. I have lots.
Oh, yeah. I'll take a jar of jelly
if you don't mind. Jelly in.
I have my first batch of salsa is done, and I'm in the process of picking.
Does it need to age?
Oh, well, you got to age it in an old barrel until it ferments, so it really gets the job done.
Spicy.
Yeah. Yeah, boozy. But anyway, I was out. I noticed one of my tomatoes had caught that leaf wrinkle disease or whatever. Mm-hmm. I had to take the one out, but I had gotten the whole harvest off of it, and I plucked the biggest tomato I've ever grown in my life.
How big was it?
So big, Bridget. I actually got a photo of it. Let's for those that are on the live stream here.
Oh my!
That thing is the size of my face.
That's. Would you make a whole pizza pie out of that?
The thing weighs like 3 pounds.
Yeah, it does.
Yeah, flip it. Throw that other one up there, Addison. That thing is massive.
So did you dice it, chop it?
So it's actually still sitting on there. In the photo, you can see there's a little green still on there, so I'm going to let it really ripen up. But it will be going in my next batch of salsa with some of those jalapenos
that you gave
me. That
is your whole batch.
Well. Yeah, that's about half of a half a batch right there. But it's just a, I don't know. There's
that's a nice
one
size.
There's one on there that's actually bigger than that, and I left it because I knew that that one was not ready to be picked.
Is that one mostly green yet, the other?
Well, it's more orange than it is red, so it's getting there, but it's stupid big. So I've actually been looking at it, and it's a couple of tomatoes that have actually grown together into one.
They fused.
It has two stems going into it, which is pretty cool.
Weirdly, I have a lot of jalapenos, not much for green pepper. They really kind of suck this year.
Yeah, my green peppers.
But holy zucchini, Batman, if you aren't locking your car doors, I got a plan for you. You all need one.
I saw a photo of a buddy of mine who picked a zucchini out of his garden. 7.8 pounds.
He might have let that one go too long.
Yeah, it was massive. It was yay big. Well, it's just shy of 8 pounds.
That's essentially a newborn.
It's a... Yeah, it is a newborn. Yeah, it was
my garden
else.
Gave birth to the zucchini, and it's old enough to go to kindergarten.
See, the thing is about those squash and zucchini, when they get to that size, especially zucchini, you just can't eat them.
They're not as flavorful.
They're very bland. They're very woody.
Yes.
And the skin is really thick. So, I mean, you get one of those things, it's just not good eating.
But
like, sure, you can eat it, but why would you
want to?
But
someone will, because grandma won't let that go to waste.
Well, of course. Those are the ones that you puree down or whatever it is, and you turn it into zucchini bread.
I have a recipe for zucchini pie, where you puree the zucchini and you make it into like a custard. There's some sugar and cream involved.
So what I want to do this year is I want to make the old Jack Daniel's apple pie.
I gotta
find a tree, though, is the thing.
I got a guy.
Bring in some ghost pepper salsa. Let's have a little contest, see who can handle hottest.
I can make hotter than ghost pepper.
Can you?
Indeed.
Bridget, you up for a challenger?
My gut said no.
No? Okay.
All right. We're out of time. See you later. Bye.